I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maggie Huff emailed me at pods@rnz.co.nz to tell me about one of her favourite shows, Something Rhymes with Purple. It's an informative and amusing look at language hosted by two word nerds, Susie Dent and Giles Brandreth, who are also regulars on the long-running British quiz show Countdown. In this episode, they reflect on whips, filibusters, and some of the other strange expressions used around Parliament.
Don't turn off, but today we're talking about politics. Yes, politics.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast Something Rhymes with Purple. With me, Susie Dent, and Giles Brandreth, who's sitting opposite me in my kitchen, which, as we've established in previous episodes, is full of bananas and not much else, hence the echo, so forgive us for that.
But I love a banana.
You love a banana.
That's and I told you last time we were together, when you said, what word would I have tattooed on my body if I was to have a tattoo? And I'm not planning to, but I'd have the word yeks. Because I discovered it when I used to play a lot of Scrabble and found it to be a very useful Scrabble word, Y-E-X. And you couldn't guess what it was. You thought when I gave you multiple choice, it was part of a horse's hoof. And I told you it's a kind of a hiccup, an old word for a hiccup. And you doubted that. But you've done your homework since. What is a yex?
Yeah, well, it is a hiccup. Although the first meaning was a sob. Or a gasp, or a gulp. Oh. So it kind of evolved from there into a hiccup. Goes back to our Germanic invaders and the German Gesgon, I guess, which is Old High German, meaning to yawn. So there it goes. So it's like stone mutation, which is also yawning.
And how do you spell it? Y-E-X?
Y-E-X, or originally it was Y-E-S-K, yesk.
Well, I got one over on you last week with yex, and I think you're going to get one over on me this week, because what I want to ask you is this. I've long told this story. As you know, I was a member of Parliament briefly in the 1990s, and I loved telling the story as a consequence of the lines on the floor of the Chamber of the House of Commons. The two, when you're speaking in a debate, if you picture the House of Commons, the Chamber of the House of Commons, you will know that people are opposite one another. And if you've looked closely at the green carpet, you'll see there's a thin red line in front of each of the two front benches. Well, when I arrived in Parliament, it was explained to me that members of Parliament don't shake hands with one another. This is because the origin of chivalry was the handshake came to show that you were friends. You didn't, you know, and because at the House of Commons we're all honourable members, we don't need to make that proof. So there are no handshakes, the House of Commons, and no swords, no daggers, because we're all there as friends. And they take this very seriously. And in the Chamber of the House of Commons, there are these two thin red lines between the two front benches. And those two, and you mustn't step over the lines in a debate. And the two thin red lines are an exact distance apart. The distance is the distance of two outstretched arms and two full-length swords. So in the House of Commons, sword fighting is not allowed. Sword fighting is strictly taboo. Backstabbing, of course, is quite a different matter. Anyway, the point is that those two thin red lines, I used to say you had to stay behind them or you'd be ruled out of order. That was the origin of the expression towing the line. That is what I thought.
I hate being the party pooper. Oh. Everything I do, I'm the party pooper. The one that comes along and says, pop to your balloon. I'm sorry about this. The OED would disagree a little bit and that they think it originated in the US. You know, so many things that we think of being quintessentially British end up being American, like stiff upper lip was American in origin, believe it or not. I mean, honestly, you couldn't get more Stephen Fry, could you, than stiff upper lip. Toe the line, it says US 1813, and it started off as towing the mark and then towing the line 1834, all to do with being on a ship. It's to stand in a row. I'm reading the OED here. And then to present oneself in readiness for a race, contest or undertaking. So that was the first. So actually to be at the starting line rather than sort of be behind you know, align and then conform to the required standards. So it's kind of shifted over time.
Is this one true? In the bag, because as you'll see, if you're standing as you come into the House of Commons, you'll see the speaker is on a dais at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't see is behind the speaker's chair is a physical bag that you can put petitions in. And the expression was putting things in the bag. It's in the bag meant I've delivered this petition to Parliament. It's in the bag. The bag does exist behind the speaker's chair. Is that the origin of the expression, it's in the bag?
Pause for effect. Pause for flinching on my part. According to my dictionary, it's a game bag. So it's a game. It's like if you're out poaching or if you're officially shooting game, which I wouldn't ever recommend, you would put your booty in the bag, in the game bag, apparently.
Well, according to this. Fine start to my week. Two of my favourite stories from Parliament.
Is, obviously, they've had then a wonderful life in the political sphere. So it doesn't discount them at all. It's just that their origins might have been slightly different.
Well, tell me about parliamentary terms, parliamentary language, stuff that really does genuinely have its origins in the world of politics and Parliament.
OK, well, I'll start off with Roman times and the word candidate. Candidate is a relative of candida, which most people will think of when they think of thrush. Let's move on quickly. Or being candid is white, basically. Candidus meant white. And it goes back to Roman wannabes for public office who would wear white, pristine white togas in order to symbolise their purity and integrity, which quite often wasn't the case.
Amazing.
So they would swan around in white togas and they were the original white clad candidates.
So a candidate is a white-clad person who is purer than pure, literally whiter than white. That is amusing.
I remember Martin Bell, wasn't he? He had the white suit.
He was. He stood as an independent in the 1997 election against Neil Hamilton.
That's right.
Because there had been allegations made of sleaze against Neil
Hamilton.
Yes,
that's right. It was the decade of sleaze.
And that was, and he was elected. Mm. And I think then even possibly re-elected. The man in the white suit. That's why he wore the white suit.
I don't know if that's why he wore it, but it was a nice link.
Well, it was his, like I used to have colourful jumpers. Martin Bell had white suits. But isn't that amusing? They're purer than pure. Look at the candidates now for anything. Well, anyway, on we go. So that's the origin of candidate. Give me another one. This is interesting.
And then in Roman times, they would walk about in order to canvass their votes. And the Latin for walking about was ambire. It's linked to ambulare, with the idea of ambulance being ambulant. It's linked to ambient. There's so many words in English. Anyway, they would walk about canvassing their votes and they were ambitious. So ambition goes back to those Roman candidates who walked around in search of votes from the
public. I'm slack-mouthed. The origin of the word ambition relates to politics, the candidates ambulating, showing their ambition.
Yes.
That's where it all began.
Yes.
Oh, Boris, there's nothing new. Because he might have known this, because I think he's a bit of a classicist.
He's also a throttle bottom, which is another great political epithet that I love.
That's a bit personal. I think
that Boris is a bit of a throttle bottom. If he'll forgive me. Throttlebottom is a bumbling, slightly inept person in public office. Snollygoster.
Forgive me. What is the origin of Throttlebottom?
Throttlebottom was... It's a very good question. It's the name of a character.
Is it a Victorian novel of some kind? Is it a Dickens character?
It's not Dickens. I'm looking at Mr. Throttlebottom. I don't know if my search history in this. It's the Book of Thee I Sing by George Kaufman. Oh. And Mr. Alexander Throttlebottom runs for Vice President of the United States, and I imagine he was rather inept.
George S. Kaufman was a brilliant American humorist who wrote movies and plays. I happen to know that, so I'm throwing it in. And he created Mr. Throttlebottom.
He did.
What was the other one you mentioned? I think I've heard you say this before.
Snollygoster. I've definitely
mentioned it. What's a snollygoster?
Snollygoster is an entirely corrupt politician.
Ah, well, we don't know any of those.
So...
We don't know any of those.
It goes back to an old US word, snallygaster, who was a mythical monster that would eat children, and a bit like bugbear, which was a similar thing. Parents would use the presence or the imminent presence of the bugbear or the snallygaster as a warning to their kids. If they didn't do what they were told, they would be eaten by the snallygaster.
Some of Something Rhymes with Purple, hosted by Susie Dent and Giles Brandreth, produced by Paul Smith for Something Else. And thanks a lot for the tip, Maggie. If you've got a favourite podcast to share, please email me at pods@rnz.co.nz and I'll try my best to feature it on a future show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Podcast Hour from RNZ. If you're enjoying the show and it's helping you find new stuff to listen to, then please tell other people about us. Maybe mention it to a friend or a family member. And do please rate and review us on Apple or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast from. Not only does this help other people find us, but it also lets me know if I'm on the right track with the number of clips. Do you want some fewer stories, longer interviews? Just let me know about it. And I'm also really interested in finding out how people want me to podcast and publish stuff online. At the moment, I release the whole show in one chunk and also in shorter slices of individual shows too. But if this is just a pain and it's easier to just get everything in one programme, you don't have to fiddle around with and curate, just say the word and it shall be done. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.